Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for your word and for the way in which your word continues to speak to us from generation to generation to generation. Open our hearts and our minds now through the power of your Holy Spirit that we might hear what you have to say to us this morning. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. Please stand in honor of God's word. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In this passage of scripture, the Apostle Paul is making it quite clear to the Corinthian church and to us today that Christ crucified on the cross is the wisdom and power of God. Scripture tells us, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Paul quotes Isaiah to emphasize a point that Jesus often made, that God's way of thinking is not like the world's way of thinking. Paul emphasizes this because the people of his day thought very differently. There were the Jews who thought the good news of Jesus Christ was foolish because they thought the Messiah would be a conquering king accompanied by signs and miracles. Even with Isaiah 53, of the passage of the suffering Messiah being familiar to them, about how he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. That was a familiar passage to the Jews, and yet they saw that, how could you ever think that someone who is executed as a criminal could possibly be a savior? They couldn't fathom it. And then Paul is talking to the Greeks as well, because the Greeks considered the gospel foolish, as they did not believe in a bodily resurrection. They did not see in Jesus the powerful characteristics of their mythological gods. The Greeks could not relate to a God who had feelings of a personal nature. A suffering God to the Greek was really kind of a contradiction in terms. And just the idea of God becoming human made no sense to the Greeks. Instead, they sought wisdom, and they saw death as defeat. They did not see the cross as being victorious. So Paul preaches to them of Christ crucified. It certainly was not a popular message then, and it isn't a popular message today either. For crucifixion was an act of capital punishment by the forces of the Roman government. One was made a public spectacle, humiliated, shamed. Victims were degraded and tortured. And to those who don't believe the message, it sounds foolish, for they would see the cross as the last place in the world to find God's wisdom and power. Even today, people believe it is contrary to human thinking. Our society worships power, wealth, influence. J. Ellsworth Callis writes, "The message is equally unattractive today to those who want their religion to be comfortable, tidy, and self-exalting. The cross is none of these." A young boy once accompanied his mother to worship, and during the sermon, the boy was listening so intently to the lesson that day, and the preacher's sermon on the crucifixion of Christ was so moving that the boy was just taking it in, and he began to cry. And he began to cry loudly. His mother became so embarrassed that she whispered to him, "Don't take it so seriously." And isn't that where we are in many ways today? Don't take it too seriously. But we do need to take it seriously. The message of the cross is a simple message that even a child or a mentally challenged individual can grasp and fully understand. In the four questions that Paul asks, where is the wise man? Where's the scholar? Where's the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Paul makes it quite clear that the Lord has rejected the brightest and the best of human efforts to get to God. Paul's not saying that human intelligence is not important, that we shouldn't use our brains and that we shouldn't learn, but the cross defies human wisdom. And therefore, human wisdom cannot bring salvation. Salvation alone comes through that very simple message. God's Son, Jesus Christ, alone, died for our sins on the cross. He was buried, and after 3 days, he rose again. And through faith in him, we have forgiveness of sins. We have new life every single day, and we have the assurance that one day we will see him face to face, and we have an eternal home in glory with him. Paul states that for those who believe in that very simple message, that even someone who doesn't have great intelligence can grasp that simple message. It's not about intelligence. It's not about being a scholar. It's none of those things. It's about grasping by faith a very, very simple message. And when we believe in that simple message, there is incredible power in the cross. Why is there power in the cross? First of all the guilt and shame of all the sins of all humanity, past, present, future, all of the sin of the entire world was nailed on that cross in Jesus' body. All of the sin, everything we've ever done, everything we ever will do, everything anybody in the entire world, if you just stop and think about that for a moment. Jesus not only suffered the physical pain of the cross, but he suffered the burden, this incredible burden of all of our sins, agonizing over the sin of the entire world. Many heart-touching stories were circulated after the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center on September 11th in 2001. But none seems to be more spiritually significant than that of ironworker Frank Solecchia. As he was helping to recover bodies, Frank noticed two steel beams in the shape of a cross standing upright in the middle of all the debris. Appointing himself as the curator of that striking symbol of God's love, he often took heartbroken visitors to see it, and many of them were comforted by the silent testimony to the divine presence in the worst of all the tragedies. One day, when journalist Barbara Walters came with tearful friends who had lost a son in the catastrophe, Frank simply led them to the cross. See, it's the cross where the world's terrible pain and suffering and sin is taken. It's the answer to the world's terrible pain and evil. It's not a philosophical argument or a theological debate. The answer is Calvary's cross, where there is this incredible, unbelievable grace of Jesus, who took himself the burden of our sins, that we might be transformed, that we might be forgiven. It's the cross, the most powerful image that those people could ever have experienced as they looked at this evil sight, and in the middle, there was hope. Why is there power in the cross? Secondly, the love of God is demonstrated at the cross to the greatest degree. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have eternal life. That wonderful passage of John 3:16 that probably many of us learned as a child, and it's still ingrained within us. It's that great, great love of our Lord that we see at the cross. Romans 5:6-8 says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." There's a story reported in an article by Fred Markert in an issue of Pray magazine. It took place several years ago. Fred is the International Director of Youth with a Mission. And Strategic Frontiers is a group that focuses on witnessing for Christ among mostly Muslim nations, where it is not always easy for Christians to go. Fred was living in Afghanistan, and he relates the story about a Muslim woman, a university professor, attending an English class taught by Youth with a Mission volunteers. And this is how she expresses what happened to her. "I started to go to sleep, and suddenly my bedroom filled with light. At the foot of my bed stood Jesus. And I knew he had come to kill me. You see, the day before, she had stormed out of the English class after the teacher had begun to answer questions and to speak about Jesus to his students. As she stormed out, she cursed the teacher. I cursed you all the way home, she told him. I went home and I lay in my bed and I was praying, Allah, I want you to kill those people because they are not English teachers. They are missionaries and I want them out of my country. Kill them. It was then that she saw the vision of Jesus standing at the foot of her bed. I knew he'd come to kill me because I was asking Allah to kill his workers. So I got out of bed on my hands and knees. I was trembling, and I crawled to the feet of Jesus, waiting for him to slay me. As I was trembling at his feet, I started to feel warm all over. I started to feel love wash over my body, love and mercy. I looked up at him. Jesus was so beautiful. I had to give him my heart. The power of the cross, the incredible gift of love that is at the cross for you and for me. Oh, how he loves you and me, as that wonderful little song goes. And why is there power in the cross? Thirdly, because victorious daily living is found at the cross. We not only look to the cross and see Jesus' incredible love and forgiveness for us each day, but we look to the cross and see where we can find victory in living day in and day out. We give up the control and we give Christ the control of our lives. Billy Graham wrote years ago, thousands of Christians wrestle with temptation and sin. Satan uses jealousy, pride, gossip, gluttony, sex, and sinful appetites to control us. However, in the cross, there is power to overcome these temptations and sins. I have proved on 1,000 spiritual battlegrounds in my own soul, he says, that God is more than able, through the cross of his Son, to give us daily victory. Until we can say with Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Every single day we face the challenges and temptations of sin, and we can live victoriously because there's power in the cross of Christ crucified. There's a Chinese tale about a young man who captured a tiger cub. He brought it home and he raised it in a cage. When it was full grown, the man loved to brag about how ferocious and powerful it was. That tiger isn't wild anymore, scoffed his friends. He's as tame as an old house cat. This went on until a wise old man overheard them and said, there's only one way to know whether this tiger is ferocious or not. Open the cage. The young man smiled, placed his hand on the latch, and challenged his friends. Want to try out my tiger? Many people view the gospel of Jesus Christ as tame and powerless, no big deal. Some even turn their back on it. And yet, the Apostle Paul calls it the power of God. He uses the Greek word there, dunamis, which is the root word from where we get the word dynamite. Paul said that to an unbeliever, the gospel is foolishness, but anyone who is willing to believe it will experience the dynamite of God. Let me ask you something. Have you let that dynamite out of your life? Have you turned to the cross of Christ? And is that where you find power day in and day out? And if it is, have you taken that dynamite and you let it out of the cage, let it out of the heart of you so that other people can experience the power of the cross. Oh, there's great power in the cross. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you. We praise you for the cross of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we know at that cross there is tremendous power because the sins of the whole entire world have been nailed there. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that at the cross we see incredible love, love beyond anything else we can imagine or receive or share here on this earth. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that at the cross you assure us of ways in which we can daily live victoriously as we bring those sins, the temptations before you. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can be crucified with Christ and it's no longer we who live, but it is you who lives in us. And that allows us to live every single day freely and joyfully and with great hope. We thank you for that dynamite. And Father, we pray that you help us to share that dynamite, that we might be explosive everywhere we go for the sake of Jesus Christ. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name.